Tom Metzger, Tara Tommy, come on down. You're the host of the Insurgent Radio Network, broadcasting live from the bunker in North Central Indiana, right next to Tara Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but mostly drink. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the Insurgent, just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Man, I'm here. I'm here. What is this? Something here on my radio. There we go. Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, the one and only with Terrible Tommy at the microphone. Here, yeah. Right here at Hee Haw Central in the bunker. That's right. And it is May the 12th, 2014, Boone's Day. That's right. I'll bet you didn't know that the Jews at one time worshipped the moon, or revered the moon at least. Yeah, they've worshipped a lot of stuff, including a pig, I think, way back. Yeah. But that's in ancient history, and we don't screw around wallowing around in that old ancient history. Well, maybe once in a while. It's a beautiful day out today, sun shining. I got up early today and we had a big lightning storm last night. Boy, I'm telling you. We had a couple of hits right out here close to the house that I thought the military Jewish Defense League or Jewish Aggressive League had lobbed a couple of mortars in on me. Almost jumped out of the bed, man. But what a light show. We had a beautiful light show last night. Yeah, just a lot better than 4th of July. But this morning, the sun's shining. It's nice. It's a little humid. It's warm, quite warm. So I jumped in my little old truck and went over to the hunter-gathering place. They have an auction not every Monday, but once in a while on Monday. A lot of stuff there. But the problem is, unless you got all kinds of time to kill, you don't have anything else to do, you can be around there for hours and hours until something that you might be interested in comes up. Whoa! Well, I got disturbed there a little bit. A little gal called me from way down deep in Georgia with that Georgia twang. Yeah, like I told you, I told a fellow I'd sell his car for him. Little MG midget. I can barely get in and out of the damn thing, and with my hips are a little funny. And so with the top up, it's miserable to get out of that thing. Anyhow, she wanted to have a picture of the engine, which is all original. So anyhow, I took it with my telephone camera thing. I hadn't done that before and sent it to her. And she sent a big thank you right on back here. So she's maybe going to come on up here and get that little car. You know, as heavy as most people are today, they wouldn't get in that car. I mean, she said she was skinny and 5 foot tall. I said, you're perfect for this car. That's about the size of what, a 13, 14-year-old? And but even old Terrible Tommy has to bend around to get in the damn thing. Well, I see they're getting all ready for the big show investigation, Benghazi. You know, the show, the trial, the investigation and the trial should be taking some leaders of this country called the United States of whatever to trial for murdering Gaddafi, the legal leader of Libya, who was, the instigation was there, the arms were given to the people, and they drug him out and killed him, you know, but nobody talks about that. That's okay. Well, that's not okay, because that would do the same thing to you. Do you understand that? It's not happening too much now, except under the cover of darkness in prisons they do it. Once in a while they knock somebody off here, but usually it's somebody that's got something to do with the ruling class structure in the government or something like that. Like, who was that guy back under Clinton who got wasted out there in the park in Washington? They said he committed suicide. Sure. Well, anyhow, this is a damn monkey trial. It's ridiculous. This is just for the Republicans to keep your mind off that the Democrats want to shove a new immigration bill through, liberalizing immigration. Now, the Republicans want to do that too, but they're trying to figure out how to get around their own constituents. They're probably going, it looks like they're going to go for this asshole Jeb Bush, who incidentally is married to a Mexican, and he believes in letting love take its course with the Mexican population. I wish Mexico sometimes felt that kindly towards American tourists. Jeb Bush will be a disaster. He'll be another Bush crime family, corporation, fascist, or whatever you want to call them. But it looks like that's the way they're headed. The Republican Party is playing this balancing act. And anything they can use to draw your attention away from what's really going on, they're going to do it, like this Benghazi deal, or like the IRS checked out a few of these Bible-thumping outfits that probably were screwing the pooch, you know. But anyhow, that's the way they do it. I told you before, these Republicrats are much more sneaky than the Democrazies. They are. Most of the time, Democrats are pretty much out in the open about things. You may not like what they're saying or what they're standing for or what they're promoting, but at least they tend to be out in the open about it. Republicans are not. They're sneaky bastards. You know, this Mitch McConnell, the chipmunk, and all those guys. I mean, these are the kind of guys that'll be on the front row of the church praying to the baby Jesus, and then first thing they're out of that church, they're on the cell phone setting up some economic hit on somebody, you know. I mean, I never realized the Republican Party was quite so rotten until just the last 3-4 years. I knew there were a lot of corruption in the Republican Party, don't get me wrong. But I never realized how corrupt the Republican Party is until the last 2 or 3, 4 years, you know. It is really, really bad. So if you're getting excited over this Benghazi deal, you don't know the score. Just like a lot of these other false flag deals, like the wide open lands out west and so forth like that. Now all of a sudden, they got a big push investigating about the government owning so much land. Well, maybe they want to get rid of that land and let the Asians come in and Chinese come in and everybody else come in and get it, you know. Why do these capitalist bastards like so much population? And why do they want primarily non-white, ignorant, uneducated people coming in, like Somalians, putting Somalians out in Wyoming and Montana? Why would they do that? Well, it's very simple. The same reason they did the Mexicans. Because whatever money they're number one, they're just thankful to get out of the shithole they're from, you know, like the Somalians. They're so thankful to get out of there. Anything looks great. And of course it does. And the point is, these people, less educated, more stupid people, spend their money faster. Even faster than the dumb whites. So that's what they want. See, they like quite a bit of money in circulation as long as it keeps circulating and ends up back in their pocket. You know, that's the way it is. That's almost all the way it is. Yeah, it sure is. I recorded something. You know, usually a lot of these right-wing guys, I just can't stand them. And this guy, you know, I have hardly ever listened to him, but early this morning I taped this off of his radio show for about 5 or 10 minutes. And for once, a right-winger Republican type, small R as they call it, made sense. Let's listen to this. Well, as usual, or maybe not as usual, but I lost that clip. I'm sorry, but it was a right-wing talker that was saying almost the same thing a lot of the left-wing talks about, is the ruling class and how they manipulate everything. And, of course, you've heard that many times over, but it's always good to hear it coming from the right for a change. You wonder why they're getting so excited about some schoolgirl Negroes down in Nigeria, where girls are being kidnapped all over Africa all the time, and white girls are kidnapped in Europe and taken to North Africa, and people are kidnapped all over North Africa. Well, it's simple. 43% of Nigeria's oil, and they've got a lot of it, goes to the old Uncle Sammy. Kosher Uncle Sammy's getting that oil. So, let's see, we want to keep that dictator happy down there. We'll send some troops down, and they'll go out and around just like an Easter egg hunt looking for those girls. Yeah. Well, since the people who kidnapped those girls say that they've shipped them around to different places and in the jungle and foreign countries over there in Africa. Well, but this gives the U.S. military-industrial complex a little bit of training time to put some intelligence troops in there, some forward force recon types to check out Nigeria in case one of these days that dictator happens to decide to sell his oil to China. And we may have to go in there, or the corporations must going to have to go in there and just straighten that boy out, you know. So everything, follow the money, follow the money. You think these people are humanitarians? If it just happened to coincide with a money-making operation, maybe. Outside of that, forget it. These are the greediest, most corrupt people the world has ever seen. All this stuff about empathy and camaraderie and love your fellow man shit and diversity, it's all bullshit. Did you ever seriously ask yourself to think about this when they say, I watched a military movie last night, and I'll get you the title. It was interesting because it was about a special crew of guys that were put together over in Afghanistan, and a CIA guy came all the way over from Langley to go with them into the mountains on the pretext they were looking for some old imam that was going to look more kindly on the U.S. forces in Afghanistan. But after a little while, they found out, no, that wasn't it at all. Yes, so. But as people started dying, you hear this familiar word, oh, he was a great soldier. He died for his country. Died for his country? Literally, that's hard to understand. Now, I can say a man might be willing or a woman might be willing to die for their relatives or their kids. Maybe even their neighbors. But beyond that, how many people really want to die for somebody, yet alone this ambiguous term country? I certainly wouldn't want to die for the Sahara Desert or the desert out there in the West. I think it's... Wait a minute, that's not the Sahara. But anyhow, you know what I mean? There's a lot of places that I sure as hell wouldn't want to die for. The Okeechobee Swamp, all that kind. Wouldn't want to die for niggerized New York or Chicago or any of that stuff. But they're always saying in these movies, as a guy gets blown away, he died for his country. I'll tell you again, That kind of talk is all bullshit. Nobody thinks they're going to die when they go in the military and train to do all this stuff. Oh, they are trained to kill other people, but they don't think they're ever going to die. But at the point of death, they always tell them, well, you served your country well. Meanwhile, 99% of the people back in the country don't give a shit at all. They don't care. I mean, there was a guy the other day, a Marine, that blew his brains out. No, he cut his arteries in his leg and bled out on Facebook. Committed suicide on Facebook. And he was on the living on the street, living on the road. Nobody knew where to find him or anything. Well, this is the results of all this fighting for your country stuff. You know, you can see fighting for your neighborhood, or maybe fighting for your county, or maybe your state. But really, what's fighting in a foreign country got to do with that? What's it really got anything to do with that? Once you get beyond the shores of the country, and maybe even outside your state, bet your bottom dollar you're fighting for forces of money. You're fighting for corporations. Now, they're always going to have an excuse. Yeah, that's going to sound pretty good, like, we're going to get those goddamn tall heads because they hate the baby Jesus. Oh, okay, then I'll go fight and give my life and end up with my legs blown off, my arms blown off, and put me on TV every day telling people how they need to send money. Have you seen those ads? I turn off the TV. I won't watch them because I didn't support to send these guys. I tell every guy I run into, don't get in the military. Don't volunteer to the military. Don't go there. When they do and they come back with arms and legs blown off, I refuse to feel guilt. They want us all to feel guilty. I don't feel guilty. The people who should feel guilty don't feel guilty. And the thing that really drives me up the wall is the parents who say, well, I served in the Great War. I was part of the Great Generation because I killed the Germans and they were Nazis. I still hear that all the time. So I encourage my son and daughters to go in there and fight for their country. What a bunch of bullshit. Well, did you ever hear of the term death rattle? Wikipedia says it defines a death rattle as the sound often heard before death, just before death. A death rattle known clinically as terminal respiratory secretions, or simply terminal secretions, is a sound often produced by someone who is near death when fluids such as saliva and bronchial secretions accumulate in the throat and upper chest. Economies and races do not utter sounds in any stage of existence, but the health of the economic body can be measured via economic assessments. Youth and vibrant economies grow rapidly, usually producing growth rates in excess of high single digits. Mature economies grow less fast, but they do grow at rates fast enough to keep resources fully employed and living standard increasing. Dying economies stagnate. This last stage is followed by the death rattle. Hold it. Economies and countries do not have biological clocks like real living species. Well, I don't know. I think races do. Nature is not in control. Man is. Man is responsible for all stages of an economy. The last stage of an economy is stagnant and even negative growth. Unemployment and underemployment, human and physical resources characterize this stage. So too does a declining standard of living. Two factors are always responsible for this stage: economic quackery and political interventions. Any economic slowdown is seen to be solved by additional economic stimulus and political intervention. More government is always the solution, or at least it has been since the 30s. Both economists and politicians are too happy to accommodate because each accommodation improves their condition. The modern-day witchcraft is considered effective because it has always worked in the past. Surely it will work again and save us from any pain. What is not seen is that every intervention weakens the economy. While the economy rebounds mostly as a result of self-corrective price adjustments, but also likely sped up by the stimulus, some harm has been inflicted. This harm is cumulative, building up over the years until the economy becomes so distorted and dysfunctional that the price system becomes dysfunctional and capital is so badly misallocated that it becomes unproductive. At this stage, no amount of stimulus can restore or save the economy. That's opinion. Well, the diversity bunch are upset because not enough America's teachers are non-white. America's teachers don't reflect the diverse student bodies they teach, according to a new survey from the Center for American Progress or Regress. In fact, the percentage of non-white teachers is not greater than or equal to the percentage of non-white students in any of the 50 states or the District of Columbia. And that's the reason why they're still in schools are still operating. Once they transfer all the white teachers out and you've got nothing but non-whites teaching, with teaching non-white students, the whole thing will collapse over a period of time. Quote, these findings are disturbing, given an ever-diversifying student body, another, an ever-race-mixed student body. We need to do far more to race mix our teacher workforce. Study authors Farah Ahmad and Ulrich Boser write, okay? Good Anglo-Saxon. There is a large demographic racial mismatch between students and teachers of color. This matters because students of color need teachers who not only set rigorous standards for them, but teachers who also can provide models of professional success. I guess that's why they need black cops to ride herd on black kids in the streets, right? Same logic. Teachers of color have demonstrated success in increasing the academic achievement of students of similar backgrounds, unquote. I don't believe that. Vermont leads the nation in proportional teachers' diversity. Vermont, with only a 4% point difference between non-white teachers and non-white students. That's because the people are more docile and don't feel there's a threat until it's too late. Of course, they filled up Vermont with a lot of Somalians now. West Virginia and New Hampshire are the only other states, however, where that gap is in single digits. California is the worst offending state. 73% of the students there are non-white. 73%. But only 29% of the teachers, creating a diversity gap of 44 percentage points. Oh my God, we got to change that. Fire all those white teachers. Nevada, 42 percentage points. And Maryland, 38 percentage points. Followed closely by Arizona, where 57% of the students and only 20% of the teachers are non-white. A difference of 37 percentage points has the fourth largest gap. There you go. Now we got all these non-whites taking over the country, or at least taking over a seat in the country and becoming good consumers, which is the reason they're here anyhow. We got to get rid of the terrible white teachers because they may educate some of these non-whites to be a little suspicious of government and maybe not be such good consumers. What do you think about that?
Well, of course they're going to change the names of the schools and the monuments and everything else.
Well, the non-whites are a majority, of course they will. Stupid white guy. Students at one of the oldest public education institutions in the country think it's time for their school to get on the right side of history. The Real Silent Sam Coalition, a student and alumni created organization that hopes to create honest and public dialogue. I love that, public dialogue. And provoke critical thought surrounding the monuments and buildings in Chapel Hill. Unquote. Well, you know what that is. They call for a meeting and 70% of the audience is black, screaming, yelling, stamping their feet, and the rest are white liberals that are ready, willing to go along with it. Anyhow, is behind Rename Saunders, a campaign initiative aiming to change the name of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill building that honors the KKK leader William L. Saunders. Saunders, a UNC alumni and university trustee, was also a colonel in the Confederate Army during the Civil War. He graduated from the university in 1854 and was Grand Dragon of the North Carolina Ku Klux Klan by the late 1860s. He went on to serve North Carolina's Secretary of State from 1874 to 1891. Got to get that out of there. They got a big picture here on the front page of the university building. And on the front it says, Kick Out the KKK. UNC Chapel Hill was established in 1795. It is known as the nation's oldest public university. University historian Cecilia Moore says the campus reflects the nation's history, including the racial tensions of the time. Well, there you go. Like I say, when they get a majority, they're going to change the names of everything and change your history and everything else. Don't cry to me, baby. I've been telling you for 30, 40 years. If you don't fight, you're surrendering. There is no middle ground. There is no, let's go along, get along. Either you're resisting your enemy or you're fighting your enemy. There's no in between. You didn't fight him, so now, hey, it's going to be the University of Erastus of North Carolina. Too bad. I don't really sympathize with the masses or the wealthy people that allowed it to happen. I don't sympathize at all because you asked for it and now you're getting it. Mother Nature's going to whip your ass. What's almost comical is these people will stick this shit in your face and laugh at you and drool at you and say, we're taking over, we're outbreeding you, you stupid. And all they say, you old white old man, you're going to be out of here, all that shit. And you say, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to offend anybody. No, I don't want to do that because I might lose my friends over at the church. Well, here's a little bit more on the kidnapped Christian Negro girls in Africa. And boy, the Christian radio stations are going crazy about that. Christianity is being attacked all over the world, man. Look at these girls. They're all Christians, and now they're being attacked. The latest question, will the leader of Boko Haram trade the girls' safe return in exchange for imprisoned members of the terrorist group? The Nigerian government says no. Meanwhile, new video released today to French journalists in Nigeria may show some of the kidnapped Christian girls, they are Christian, color them Christian, now dressed in Muslim headscarves and extolling Islam. Shows you how quick people can change when their ass is up against the wall. Of course, not all the news highlights women. LGBT Army. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said on Sunday that the military should review its policies banning transgender people from service. Those foxholes are going to get interesting. Every qualified American who wants to serve our country should have an opportunity, and if they fit the qualifications and can do it. Well, I want all the homosexuals that
the radical homosexuals and the transgender people. I want them all to enlist in the service. I want them all out there on the front line. You good, healthy, Aryan white boys and girls, stay out of it. Stay home. Yeah, give that LGBT first dibs at getting the military, send them to Afghanistan, Iraq, or wherever the hell they're going to send them. Shit, that's good. Well, the University of Missouri football star Michael Sam was drafted by the St. Louis Rams, making him the first openly queer player in the NFL. Yeah. Says here, raise your hand if you think he'd be the only gay player on the field. And an Arkansas judge opened the door for queer marriage. One, the state attorney general will likely shut today. Okay, well, it's got to be something they're putting in the water and the food and the beer or something. I mean, all of a sudden there's, you know, thousands, millions of homosexuals. You know, all of a sudden, boom, they're there. It's phony as hell as far as I'm concerned. I think, and like I've said for years, I think a lot of these people who are acting out a homosexual lifestyle for a while probably go back to being straight later, but it gets attention. Why, if I come out and say I'm a homosexual, I'm going to get my name in the paper, man. Atheists wrapped up a bad week in the courts on Friday. Massachusetts Supreme Court, a judicial court, ruled Friday that the phrase under God in the Pledge of Allegiance does not violate the religious beliefs of an atheist family. For unbelievers, the decision came hard on the heels of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling clearing the table for sectarian prayer in public meetings. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you need to dump the whole Pledge of Allegiance, not just the under God part, but people can say that kind of stuff all they want. I don't have to say it. I don't have to stand to salute the flag or anything like that. And in many cases, I don't. So, there you go, all you conservatives out there. That flag doesn't represent anything that I thought it represented a long time ago. I've finally figured out what it represented, and I won't salute it. Today's New York Times profiles a 20-year-old history and current victories of the Alliance Defending Freedom. It depends on whose ox is being gored. The conservative Christian legal group is a force to be reckoned with in the courts these days. Yeah. Whose freedom? The Alliance Defending the Freedom of the Religion Business to dominate everything and have tax exemption on everything? Yeah. Well, isn't this cute? This Jewish magazine called Tablet profiles the Argentine rabbi who will guide Pope Francis in the Holy Land, his longtime friend, Rabbi Abraham Skorka. Yeah. Oh, you do realize that they're elevating the last pope to a saint because he was involved in a miracle. Now, if you believe that, I've got some prime land down in the Okeechobee Swamps. I don't know what that so-called miracle was, and I'm not going to take time to look into it, but I know it's a scam. However, I saw a picture of Adolf Hitler appear in a pie I bought down at the grocery one day. I was just reading on the internet from some preacher in the religious news service how to protect children, practical steps. Well, I read his practical steps, and believe me, if you depend on children being protected from his practical steps within the faith community, forget it. This guy has no more understanding of pedophiles and perverts than a man in the moon, but yet he's advising all these goody-two-shoes Christians how to make sure that their children are not attacked. Wow.
Well, when your whole religion is based on forgiving everybody, well, I think you're going to probably spend most of your time figuring out how you're going to forgive the pedophile. The great competitor to Christianity, Mithraism, did not have that. You would not be forgiven if you did something very, very terrible, and your family wouldn't be forgiven either. Christianity come along like a typical Jew offer and said, well, we got something better for you. Ha ha. We can forgive you anything you do. I mean, you know. Yeah. No matter how bad it is, you can get forgiven. Washed in the blood of the Jesus. Now they have these safe church type deals with National Child Protection Training Center. You can get help. Well, you know what's going to happen? Just like Neighborhood Watch. If you want to be a successful burglar, you join Neighborhood Watch. If you want to become a successful pedophile, you join the Child Protection Training Center. Yeah. Well, if you didn't think Jews were nuts before, now they've really gone off the deep end. How do you like this headline? Is it okay to dance to songs about the Holocaust? Yes, says the band Golem. The klezmer punk rockers cover lots of ground on their rollicking new album, Tanz, T-A-N-Z. They want you to get crazy to all of it. Yeah. Known for Frenzy's take on Yiddish and Eastern European music, the members of Golem bring the part. You know what Golem is? That's where the rabbis create this Frankenstein-type monster to protect the Jews. There's a movie about it, an old silent movie you can get off the internet. It's pretty funny. The members of the Golem bring the party with them wherever the band plays and no matter what they're singing about. Their new album, Tanz, which means dance in Yiddish, covers religious rites, anti-Jewism in the former Soviet Union, dark children's poems, and more in a mix of rollicking interpretations of classic songs and original numbers. Golem's founder and accordionist Annette Ezekiel Kogan and its violinist Jeremy Brown join Vox Tablet host Sarah Ivory to talk about the band's surprising Mexican fan base. How painful it is to sing the song Odessa now that the Ukraine is in the throes of Russian occupation, and their ambivalence about singing about religious topics when the band members themselves are not particularly devout. Well, what are you saying? They're atheists? Well, I don't know what to say about that. So now they're rapping to the Holocaust. There you go, boys and girls. There you go. Poor Michael Douglas celebrated his son Dylan's bar mitzvah last weekend, but he may have overdone it on the dance floor. The New York Post page 6 reports that 69-year-old actor suffered a horror-related injury and left him limping days later. Stars, they're just like us, it says. Quote, I'm hurting, he told us. Quote, I don't know whether it's my groin or a hernia. I got carried away with my son's bar mitzvah last weekend. You know, they put you up in the chairs over the top. I think something's happened here. I'm telling you, the horror can be dangerous. There's an elderly relative to watch out for, gnashing stiletto spikes to avoid, plus everyone's going a completely different speed. Those concentric circles are basically a dance floor version of the Frogger. And don't get me started about going up these chairs. I happen to have gone in the chair myself this past weekend at my sister's wedding. No wonder Douglas was so excited, though. The bar mitzvah invitation was apparently a picture of young Dylan photoshopped into a Rolling Stone cover. I bet the giveaway was even better. Oh, and fun was had by all. Uh-oh. Last night, Roger Kukierman, president of the Conseil Representatif des Institutions Jueves de France, better known as the acronym CRIF, spoke to a small audience at the French consulate in New York about French anti-Jewism. First, he argued the populist far right, and particularly the National Front, which today is headed by Marine Le Pen, daughter of founder Jean Marie Le Pen, remains inherently anti-Jew and is regaining traction with the electorate thanks to the weak European economy. Second, there is a persistent tension with France's growing Muslim community and a casual anti-Jewism in pop culture typified by the Grenelle salute. Yeah. Well, you know, he's not telling you also that the National Front has been recruiting some colorful people. In other words, they've been recruiting some Islamics. I don't know how many, but they've even got Islamics running on the National Front ticket, according to the information I received. If you received differently, let me know. But the most worrying tendency of Kukierman identified was the increasing use of the anti-Zionism to express classic anti-Jewish feelings. Traditional anti-Jewism or anti-Semitism is not elegant, as he put it. Well, it's meaningless because of all the Arabs that are Semites. But anti-Zionism has acquired an air of intellectual chic. Yeah, I thought it sounds pretty good. Anti-Zionism. Nobody in France boycotts other countries accused of occupying territory, he pointed out. And it's almost uniquely Israel and Israeli products that see boycotts in France. Anti-Zionism is a new way of dressing up anti-Semitism, Kukierman insisted. Oh, okay. Yet Kukierman finds himself in a bind, he told me that when we spoke after his prepared remarks. Quote, the less I talk about Israel, the more power I have in domestic issues, unquote, he explained. Despite his convictions about what underlies today's anti-Zionism, never mind the fact that two of his four children live in Israel, he insisted that his best strategy is to focus on the domestic and leave Israel aside. This is despite the fact that the president, François Hollande, seems particularly concerned with the story of French Jews. He was the first French president to fully apologize for France's role in the deportation of Raggedy Tag Jews during World War II. And the fact that the prime minister, Manuel Valls, is married to a Jewish woman. Well, aren't they all? But Kukierman noted boycotts and demonstrations against Israel are still common in France. And he rattled off stark statistics about French Jewish life with ease. 40% of race-related violence is against Jews. Probably by other Jews. French Jews left in 2012 and 2,000 French Jews left in 2012, 3,000 in 2013. 17,000 people marched in the demonstration in Paris that turned into an anti-Jew rally. Well, all those Jews probably came to New York City. Yep, that's where they go. Or Miami, because Miami's warmer. Today, anti-Zionism does not bear a swastika. And that's why if you're going to start up something that's anti-Jew, I don't believe you should use the swastika. I think it's a trap. And no matter how much you like it, I don't think it's going to get you very far. You need to be cool and clever and smart and outfox the Jew. And is the hallmark of concerned citizens of the world because often manifests itself in a binary. Either you are against Israel and the Jewish occupation, or you are for the displacement and mistreatment of Palestinians in the interest of the Jewish state. Well, even the Greeks were there for hundreds of years. I think the Greeks should take over Israel. But if Kukierman really does believe that anti-Zionism is the face of contemporary anti-Jewism, that should be strong enough reason to align unilaterally with Israel. Well, that's why some of the French right wing align, and I think even British BNP do a little bit of love affair with the French for a while. I mean, the Jews for a while. It seemed to me I remember that. Well, maybe one of the reasons they say anti-Zionism because most of these Jewish spokesmen I see don't look like Semitic Jews at all. The leadership is definitely European-type Jews. And to try to pass yourself off as a Semite when you can look in the mirror and see you're not is ridiculous. Hey, you remember Bernie Madoff, who made off with all the money? The kike Jew? Well, guess who he scammed really bad? Well, one of them was somebody you know. Steven Spielberg. He lost a bundle with Bernie. Kevin Bacon and Kedra Sedgwick. The stars of Footloose and The Closer lost an undisclosed amount. Sedgwick said at the time that while they weren't destroyed, they did lose hard-earned money they thought was in a safe place with another kike. I'm getting to like Bernie Madoff more all the time. Look at this one. He got Eli Wiesel. Yeah. Author and Holocaust survivor Eli Wiesel's Foundation for Humanity lost $15.2 million. Substantially all of its assets. He said of Madoff, could I forgive him? No. Well, we should give Bernie Madoff the... I don't know, what kind of award? Aryan of the Month Award? Boy, he did us a big favor by punishing people we would like to punish, but we haven't been able to figure a way of punishing. There's nothing punishes a Jew like taking his money. Boy, he got Sandy Koufax, remember the Jew baseball player for the Brooklyn Dodgers? Along with a number of other baseball greats, the Hall of Fame Dodgers pitcher was on Madoff's client list and lost an undisclosed amount. Whoa! The next one Bernie scammed was Eric Roth, the Hollywood screenwriter credited with Forrest Gump and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, has said he lost a substantial amount but did not disclose how much. On the scam, he told the Los Angeles Times, quote, the tragedy is the people who lost their life savings and their dreams. And he was a Jew. He was a fellow Jew. He got me good. And the next. Larry King, the former talk show host, was on Madoff's client list. And according to sources from the New York Post, lost more than $1 million, although King never confirmed it. Wow. I think the Jews are treating the Jews much worse than the Hollywood Nazis have been able to punish them. I'm sure losing all that money to most Jews is worse than being gassed. Next is that bombshell Zsa Gabor. Remember when she tried to beat up a motorcycle cop up in Hollywood and got herself thrown in the pokey? Didn't help her being a Jew. The actress and Hollywood personality lost $10 million. Her husband, Frederick von Anhalt, said at the time, quote, if I was in New York, I would take a baseball stick and hit this terrible man over the head, unquote. Well, that's anti-Semitic, sir, because maybe you aren't Jewish. Frederick von Anhalt. Sound like an aristocratic German or something. He would take a stick and beat that man, Bernie, over the head. Can you imagine losing $10 million to some clown? Wow. Next is Jeffrey Katzenberg, the head of DreamWorks Animation and the producer of the Shrek films, lost an undisclosed millions. Quote, what it has done to other people is terrible. It's destroyed many people's lives, people that I know, unquote, Katzenberg said after the scam was revealed. But it didn't hurt me because I got about $150 million
close to a billion, so I was all right. Well, they got John Malkovich, too, which is he's a pretty good actor. The actor has said he was ruined financially by the scam, and in 2011 went back to court to reclaim the $2.3 million he lost. But it doesn't say he got it back. And last but not least was Elliot Spitzer, the family real estate firm of CNN host and former governor of the New York State, lost an undisclosed amount of money. And then he lost being governor, and he had all kinds of problems. Here again, Jews gassing Jews. Thousands of individual investors, pension funds, corporations, and universities lost big in Bernie Madoff's $50 billion Ponzi scheme. We take a look at Madoff's celebrity client list, we just did, some of whom are now facing significant financial challenges as a result of Madoff's fraud. While not all amounts have been disclosed, I have just told you about 10 of them. You know, I think if I lost 10 million bucks to a clown like that, that I might be tempted to have somebody inside the prison say hello to him some morning in the chow line. Or maybe we should protect him, because Madoff has done more to Jews than any of us have ever thought of doing or tried to do. And if you want to check on that, that comes from Bankrate online magazine. Bankrate. So that tells you all about the business community. Well, you want to know what sells best on eBay? Well, here we go. Wait a minute. Stuffed animals. Over the last few years, stuffed animals have become very popular on eBay. Once you look into this niche a little bit, you will be very surprised at the demand for stuffed animals. So all you lone wolves out there and your wives, get out to the garage sales and start buying up stuffed animals. Like other items, can be sold used, new, and coveted new with tags. Yeah, if you've got a stuffed animal with the tags on it, and the new tags, well, that's worth a lot more. As with other categories, stuffed animals became sought after items because many children's items are manufactured in limited runs, and when they're gone off the store shelves, they're gone. There are collectors out there, as well as individuals looking for a particular toy, so you have a nice customer base that will be interested in your auctions. Watch for popular movies for children that get released and begin making stuffed animals as part of their marketing. Stock up on stuffed animals that you find. Keep the tags attached and pack the products away for safekeeping until you're ready to sell. Well, there you go. You can make a living off that. Stay away from selling stuffed animals that are not clean. If the stuffed animal is a retro piece and has signs of wear, make sure to describe clearly any defects that the stuffed animal has. If you're clear to your buyers in your descriptions, they will be more apt to trust you for subsequent purchases. Yeah. Now here's an adverse comment on that. I've been selling on eBay since 1997, and these suggestions are as old as the hills. Check eBay and you'll see most of these categories are oversaturated with junk, copies, and reproductions. There are true collectibles in these categories, but they're rare and hard to find because you're competing for them with people who know their stuff. You don't go out and just happen upon a piece of Royal Doulton or a vintage Stife Bear. The best advice in the column is to do your research before you go out to buy stuff. Next comment. I agree. I'm a power seller, though it isn't actually that hard to reach that category. But things that sell like hotcakes are CDs in very good to like new condition, musical instruments in excellent conditions, even books, which will generally sell for more than you'd get for them at a yard sale. Library of America, Folio Society, Limited Editions Club, and so on,
probably won't get you your money back on the purchase, but every once in a while, I get surprised. I sold a couple of Howard Shore LOTR complete soundtracks recently for roughly $500 after eBay's rake-off, which was pretty good day. It was pretty good day at the office. Another comment. Books can be a real gold mine, even though, even now, with twice as many people trading them than were a few years back. Still, just recently, I walked into a used book and junk store and bought a first edition Bambi for 25 cents. It was in a stack of old kids' books. I sold it in a week later to a collector for $280. Learning the ins and outs of identifying value first editions takes a lot of time, but it can really be worth it. And one more comment here as we wind down the show. Power seller here, and have been selling on eBay for 11 years. The market is constantly changing too, and so to the research. We picked up a vintage oil company wall clock at a yard sale once and haggled it down to $20, smelling a trend and hoping we could get back at least 40% of it. It turned out to be one of those rare few surprises that had a crazy bidding war on it in the last 2 minutes of the auction and went for over $400. But these are few and far between, and every sale is never going to be a killing. You also cannot look at the cost of one individual item and obsess on the profits on that specific item. If you spend $100 on five items at cost, and one of them alone makes $200, you've made your money. And anything else is gravy to keep pouring back into the inventory. This article cracked me up with the stuffed animal thing. Dead giveaway, the author or someone near and dear got taken those Beanie Babies back in the 80s and saving clothing for the season. Brick and mortar retailers don't even do that. Bathing suits are out in March, winter coats in July and August, and that's in areas with distinct seasonal changes. Your market, whether the nationwide alone and worldwide, has climate differences, limiting your selling to what weather is like right outside your window is just ridiculous. Well, anyhow, that's that for all you people who need extra income out there. Besides, garage sailing gives you a lot of exercise and it's a lot of fun. A few days ago, they had a big neighborhood garage sale set up, and there were a big subdivision, and almost every other house had a garage sale. There were hundreds of people going up and down the streets. It was a great place to sell something. Unbelievable. They had everything there you could ever imagine. It was all within a few blocks walking. Well, that's about it for Moon's Day, boys and girls, and all I can tell you is 14-5. I have nothing to say. Believe me, it's becoming more and more important. The more I watch the news on TV and crime shows, it's unbelievable how many people talk themselves right into prison for long sentences. And look at Martha, was it Martha Graham, was it? And she went to jail stupidly because she lied to a federal officer. She didn't go to jail for anything she did otherwise. Remember that. You don't talk to the cop about it. You don't talk to FBI. You don't talk to Treasury or anybody else. You have nothing to say, because if you lie, that's 5 years in the clink. Bye-bye. Shut up.
Happy trails. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails. Yeah.
16.5.